Rupi Janava Baba Girivardhari Yasodhanam Dhamma Rajajana Janna Jamana Tera Vanachare Jamana Tera Vanachare Jaya Dhamma Dava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janava Labha Kivaradhari Yasodhanandana Vrajajana Rajana Jamona Tera Vanachari Jamona Tera Vanachari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Jaya Radha Shyam Sundara Radha Shyam Sundara Radha Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada
Jaya Vishnupada Paramahamsa Paribraja Kacharya Astuatha Sutat Sisimadas of Angries is confined a child. Srila Abhacharana Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Propamarazuki Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Paribraja Kacharya. Astuatha Sutat Sisimadas of Angries, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Propamarazuki Anantha Koti Vaishnavini Kija. Namacharya Sri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Si Kahao Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadarara Si Vatsari Si Gaura Bhaktavina Ki Jai Si Si Radha Krishna Gopal Gopinath Syamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Gopatan Ki Jai Srivrindavan Dham Ki Jai Si Mayapanavadip Dham Ki Jai Sri Jagannapuri Dham ki jai. Gangamai Yamanamai ki jai. Simati Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktavini ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories, all glories to Siguranguranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narutamam Devim Sarasvati Vyatsad Tato Jaya Mudhirayat Astrapaye Subhadrisu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavaiti Naistike. So this morning, Srimad Bhagavatam, right here in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Temple, we are taking a reading from Canto 5, Chapter 13, 1-3, Text 10, 1-0. The title of this chapter is Rahugana Converses with Jat Bharat. Karisma chit sudarasam visimvams. Tamakshikabhi vyatito vamanaham. Tatrati kritrat pratilabdhamano. Bala vilumpam chattatam tattunye. Karisma chichudrasam visimvams. Tanmakshika bhi vyatito vimanaham. Tatrati krishra pratilabdhamano. Balam vilumpam chatatam tattunye. Can someone try? You can use any tone you're comfortable with. Ladies, word for word translation, charisma cheat sometimes. Chudra, very insignificant. Rasan, sexual enjoyment. Visimvan, searching for. Tat, of those women. Makshikabi, by honeybees, or the husbands or family members. V
Vyatitaha, very much aggrieved. Vimanaha, insulted. Tatra, in that. Ati, very much. Krishrat, with difficulty because of spending money. Pratilabdhamanaha, obtaining sexual enjoyment. Balat, by force. Vilumpanti, kidnapped. Atta, thereafter. Tam, the object of sense enjoyment. The woman. Tata, from him. Anye, another debauchee. Translation and purport by Divine Grace. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Abhacharya Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Sometimes, in order to have a little insignificant sense, sex enjoyment, one searches after debauched women. In this attempt, one is insulted and chastised by the women's kinsmen. This is like going to take honey from a beehive and being attacked by the bees. Sometimes, after spending lots of money, one may acquire another woman for some extra sense enjoyment. Unfortunately, the object of sense enjoyment, the woman, is taken away or kidnapped by another debauchee. Please, kindly responsible repeat. Sometimes, in order to have a little insignificant sex enjoyment, one searches after debauched women. In this attempt, one is insulted and chastised by the women's kinsmen. This is like going to take honey from a beehive and being attacked by the bees. Sometimes, after spending lots of money, one may acquire another woman for some extra sense enjoyment. Unfortunately, the object of sense enjoyment, the woman, is taken away or kidnapped by another debauchee. Purport. In a great forest, honeycombs are very important. People often go there to collect honey from the combs, and sometimes the bees attack and punish them. In human society, those who are not Krishna conscious remain in the forest of material life simply by the honey of sex life. Such debauchees are not at all satisfied with one wife. They want many women day after day with great difficulty. They try to secure such women, and sometimes, while trying to taste this kind of honey, one is attacked by a woman's kinsman and chastised very heavily. By bribing others, one may secure another woman for enjoyment. Yet, another debauchee may kidnap her or offer her something better. This woman hunting is going on in the forest of the material world, sometimes legally and sometimes illegally. Consequently, in this Krishna consciousness movement, the devotees are forbidden to have illicit sex. Thus, they avoid so many difficulties. One should remain satisfied with one woman. Being duly married. Being duly married. One can satisfy one's lust desires with his wife without creating disturbances in society and being punished for doing so. Om Gyana Tumirandasya Gyana Janas Lakaya Saksura Militam Yena Tispai Si Guru Bhenma Chaitanyam Rambistam Stavhetam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupam Kadamayam Vedati Swapadatikam Vandi Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahoditam Gudod Hai Pustavantu Chaita Chanda Tamon Vancha Kalpitari Vecha Kripasana Bia Evacha Patitanam Pavanam Vashnam Yonamon Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Simat Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinam Namaste Sarasati Deva Gauravani Pichadu Nirvisis Sonya Vadi Pachatya Disatadu. So when I looked at the time, we have just about 34 minutes. So let's see what we can share from this insightful purport of Srila Prabhupada. The purpose of Srila Prabhupada are our lights into the Vedic literature. So here, this chapter is just part of the conversation between King Rahugana and Jat Bharat. So those of you who have been following up with the previous chapters, you'll find that Jat Bharat was helping with some service with the king, but he was like meandering when he was carrying the king, you know, on a palanquin. So the king was not very happy with the apparent incongruency of the behavior of Jat Bharat, because he's supposed to do this service very nicely. So the king became affected by anger and chastised Jat Bharat. So eventually conversation ensued, and it was in due course of time that within the conversation that King Rahugana got to realize the position of Jat Bharat. How? Knowledge. Realize knowledge of Jat Bharat. So one may seem like a dumb, but you watch to hear him say something. One may even dress very sophisticatedly, but watch to hear what comes out from his mouth. So Jat Bharat was able to convince the king by dint of his realized knowledge, Vedic knowledge. So this very text, so we find that Sukadeva Goswami is recounting the scenario of Rahugana and Jat Bharat, that dialogue, that discourse. He was recounting this to Maharaj Parikshit. And you'll find that the whole of this chapter is the amplification of figure of speech, figurative language. So Vyasadev, he puts up the whole system in such a way that you find that in the Vedic literature, you may have direct.
Jai Sri Sri Gauranitai Ki Jai, Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Radha Shyama Sundar Lalita Vishakha Ki Jai.
You find that in the Vedic literature, sometimes Srila Vyasadeva uses allegories to discuss, to portray, to present an information. And here he's using figurative language or figure of speech. So figuratively, here is a forest. The material world is being compared to a forest. And in this forest, there are so many good things and bad things. Good things in the sense that, you know, good things in relation to the senses, how the titillation they give to the senses. So his comparison here is given a honey bee. Honey is very sweet. Sometimes even sweeter than sugar. And so that's why you find that, you know, sometimes you find in a matrimonial arena, you know, someone calls the other honey. Because it's a very sweet relationship. Isn't it? It's a very sweet relationship. But we find that the Shastras, or the Srimad Bhagavatam specifically, warns us seriously the dangers of feeling comfortable with whatever that is too sweet. Apparently, we are all products of sex. No one can deny that he was broken up from a firewood, or he came up from the pillar like Trishingadev. Huh? All of us are products of sex. So we should not unduly condemn sex. We could speak about it based on Shastra. We should not also be biased to favor it too much, because then it simply encourages people to glide down more and more, and to be entangled, and to sustain their material existence. So the Bhagavatam gives a very balanced information, transcendental information culture as regards sex. So we find there are people, especially the materialists here in the Prabhupada gives specific reference to those who are not devotees. The experiences of those who are not devotees. And if someone is even a devotee and he acts as if he's not a devotee, he will experience the same things. I was traveling recently. I went to one country and I had, you know, someone told me a bizarre scenario, very similar to what Prabhupada is describing here. His son, the girlfriend called, send him a text message. Today is my birthday. You have to come. And it's late. It's late in the night. So he went. He was discussing with the girl in the room. And here comes the father. Bruised him heavily. He ended up in hospital. This is what Prabhupada is describing here in the Prabhupada. So it's not something that is strange. You know, this is a living philosophy. It's a practical philosophy. You experience the philosophy of the Bhagavatam in everyday reality. It's not something that is hanging in the air and it's just too abstract. No, it isn't abstract. So, we're finding in Purport a very lucid information about the dangers that comes with illicit connection with women. And even illicit connections could create trouble. You know, sometimes the brahmacharis are thinking, oh, I'm missing so much. I should have gone to the Grihastha Ashram before. Then I know what is going on there. Then, you know. But then those, if we meet people who are already married, then they are lamenting, oh, I'm already married. I should have known about this Krishna consciousness philosophy before I got married. But wait a minute. In either way, you should take it. Because there are people who literally, they can't give up even their sense enjoyment and take to Krishna consciousness. And if even they take to Krishna consciousness, it is so difficult. It's like a big obstacle every day they have to deal with. I remember some years ago, I left New Jersey to
one of the cities in the West for an academic conference. So I contacted the temple president. He's a proper disciple. He's a very opulent, you know, an industrialist. So I contacted him and I said, I'm coming for some presentation at an academic conference, so I'd like to stay at the temple. So he said, no problem. Then we were discussing. Then I was complaining about my travels. You know, my type of preaching is mainly in the academy. So I was complaining about my travels and inconveniences and all the austerities involved. So he asked me, are you married? He's never seen me before. We were just talking on the phone. He asked me, are you married? I said, no, I'm a brahmachari. He said, just keep quiet. You've not seen anything. He said, you know what? I have money. I'm an industrialist. I work so hard and accumulate a lot of money. But my wife keeps telling me, you have to go and bring more. You have to go and bring more. You have to go and bring more. You have to work harder. So he told me, just be comfortable where you are and move on. Don't complain about inconvenience. Don't complain about inconveniences of traveling as you're preaching. So the bottom line is that Krishna has given us, each and every one of us, an opportunity to be able to make a positive change in our lives. And that is by taking up Krishna consciousness. And taking up Krishna consciousness is simple. Now, for a child that is born, I want to talk about why people have to get married. Why do people have to get married? Why should they do that at all? Obviously, sex is something very, very important. We work so hard, we train our children. And when they graduate from the university, we arrange for their sex life. This is a concern to everybody. Or at least those from India. In the West, it's a different thing. But this is something that we have to be very, very understanding. So we find that the child is born from the first year to the fifth year is the Kumara age. And then from the sixth year to the tenth year is the Apuganda age. And then from 11 to 15 is the Kishora age. Now in the Kishora age, it is very challenging period for the child. Why? Because at that time, that is the stage where the child develops, in most cases, that's when the child gets to the stage of puberty, when the sex desire becomes dominant or very prominent. And so in India or in the Vedic culture, you know, parents are aware of this, and so they arrange to get their kids married on time, especially the girls, so that they don't risk illicit sex. But now the culture is different. All things are changing. And from 16 up is the yavana. In the secular setting, when the child gets to 18, by dint of United Nations standard, the child is supposed to be independent, supposed to decide what he or she wants to do with their lives. But then the point is, from the Kishora age, the child's attitude changes. Hormones are poured into the bloodstream that change the behavior. And so, whether you like it or not, the child at some point in time will think of different things. Different things come into it. And if you don't discuss those issues with them, they will have to discuss with their peers. And so it is something that we have to take cognizance of and be able to groom our children in such a way that we tailor them towards Krishna consciousness. Because in most cases, kids who are not exposed to Krishna consciousness, especially chanting, It is so difficult to deal with the sex impulse, especially when they get to the yovana age. Whether they are boys or they are girls. I was discussing with a 15 years old boy on the internet. His parents are devotees. So I was asking how many rounds he chants. So he told me. I said that, you know, gradually it should improve until you get to this age of to chanting 16 rounds every day. And then he was asking me some questions about sex life. I said, see, if you are chanting 16 rounds, you'll be able to tame that impulse. And so he said, can we talk more on this? I said, I don't have the time to write much. If you're on telephone, I can call you on the phone and I can tell you more. And you can ask any questions you want to ask. And also, Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, we don't advocate illicit sex. And people who are getting married, they have to understand their responsibilities. It is not that, you know, because we don't advocate or we don't allow illicit sex. If someone wants sex, then he says, I want to marry. I want to marry means I want to be a grihastha. A grihastha means what? A householder. Are you holding a matches? Are you holding a matchbox? If you want to hold a house, first you should hold a matchbox. A matches. In other words, you have a house to put your wife. I remember a young man, he was in his final year of university studies. He's my friend. So he was speaking one day and he told me, marriage, I think I need to get married. I said, you don't need a wife. You don't want to get married. You want sex. So he was shocked. So I explained to him that, see, if you want to marry, you are depending on someone who is sponsoring you in school. Why don't you wait when you graduate? When you finish your school, you're working, you have bank balance, you have something to be able to cater for your wife. If you marry now, who is going to be responsible for your wife? If she becomes pregnant, who is going to be responsible for her and the kid? And then, after a protracted discussion, he agreed that, yes, it is true. So sometimes, you know, to call a spade could be something very difficult for a number of us. But let us be frank with ourselves when we come close to our loved ones. Let us be open to them. If you are married, for instance, you have to understand the responsibility. You have to give quality time to your spouse and your kids. You have to give quality time to your family. You can't use even your job as a facade not to give quality time to your wife and your children. You can't even use devotion as a facade not to give quality time to your wife and your children, especially if they are devotees. Because that constitutes an emotional abuse. If you don't need a wife, don't keep one in your house as and if you don't need a husband, you don't need to campaign for one. It is a serious commitment. There are so many examples in our Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the Vedic culture, it is the parents who even arrange the marriages. You find in the case of Devahuti and Kadamamoni, it was the parents of Devahuti who arranged it. And these days, we say, well, that is very antiquated. It's not antiquated. We find that those who get into love marriage, with the number of divorces, are more dominant in those cases. At least those who are anticipating to get married should understand that they need guidance. At least guidance from those who have the experience in those relationships. And sometimes we find in a number of religious traditions, I remember one of my young cousins got married, And he told me, he's a lawyer, the wife is also a lawyer. And he said, they had to go through a course, a marriage course and a counseling course for 6 months. This is a guy who is registered in the appeal court. But he has to go on a training how to get married. It's very common that we don't really see the need to be able to train our young devotees on how they should be able to cater for their spouse and their kids. Even for the those who understand the psychology of a woman does not need only your billions of dollars. They need also your time. Billions of dollars will be there, good, but your time is also needed. Now, the general tendency is, what are the root of the tree? Or we use that as a defense in our so-called emotional abuse. We use that as a defense. What are the root of the tree? When you at the root, the whole tree flourishes. You just chant Hare Krishna, and everybody else will be happy in the house. It is true. It is true. But because you have signed a social contract with someone, the terms of that contract should also be attended to. Otherwise, people will see us, people will look at our society as men who do not care for their spouses and their families. Of course, now there are good provisions that a man cannot just jump away from the wife and say he's going to take sannyas or whatever. Your wife has to give a consent. Your wife has to sign a paper that yes, we have settled, everything is okay. And you see, the Sanskrit mentions about men or women being the object of enjoyment, but men are also the object of enjoyment for women. Now, how many young women in the sense that, okay, your child has graduated from the university, and so the father should go, and you say, okay, the child has finished graduation, so go and take vanaprastha, take sannyas, and go and preach. I have practical experience of people telling me. I remember one of my friends, he told me, your child is grown up. They have one child. The child is grown up. So he told the wife, it's time to go and help Srila Prabhupada's mission. I want to go and start, preparing for vanaprastha to go and preach. The wife said, don't speak like this. Stop this state. Don't mention this again. We will be together at least for the whole of this life. Don't think of something else. I'm a devotee, you're a devotee. Don't try that. Which is also good, okay? But then the point is, it is not that only the men are going after the women. The women's attachment for their spouses is a bit more intense. I remember you shared a story on Facebook the other time, and I was following up with some research, even in modern day times. How many women want to give up their womanhood? Normal women. If they are given a chance to become a man, how many of them? Forget about the devotional culture, because I interviewed people, ladies who were not devotees. And I tell you, 76% of them mentioned they don't want to be a man. And I asked one lady specifically, we were discussing, and that was in Pennsylvania. I said, why? She said, it's a ratio of 1 to 6. What, you know what that means? The enjoyment. She said it's a ratio of, 6 to 1. So how can she ever think of, giving a chance to become, good on the other polarity? In other words, it is the women who will enjoy the whole relationship more than the men. That is also there in the Shastra. You know, Indra once performed plastic surgery on a king to become, and then the king was converted to a woman. That was the story you shared. I'm using the modern terms, modern terminologies. So when Indra came back to suggest to this king whether she could again be transformed into a man to become a good again to become a king, she said no. She said no, she doesn't want to become a man again. She's Indra asked, queried, what's the reason? She said she has had the both experiences. Sex life, sex enjoyment as a man, sex enjoyment as a woman. And, you know, this side is far greater. So why should she again become a man? So sometimes we tend to think that, and it's there in our Shastra. And that statement also is corroborated with modern research, that women actually enjoy the relationship more than, because we tend to think, oh, great, but the women are very reserved. And so the point is, object of sense enjoyment, a man is also object of sense enjoyment to a woman. A woman is also an object of sense enjoyment to a man. But then the point there is that there should be a way out to mitigate the fire of lusty desires. And that is why there's a provisions in the Varnashram system where someone gets to a particular stage. We may say, well, we are all devotees, so what is the need of, you know, becoming detached? But Kadama Muni, he gave birth to the personality of Godhead. What did he do? He said, I've given birth to the personality of Godhead, where should I go? There's no need. No! He left. These examples are there in the scriptures. We should not try to do or to speak in ways that only favor our cause. Because if it's, you can go to the scriptures, you can go to the Vedic literature and pick out something that favors you, and you can just capitalize on that. You can just preach that. You can just advocate on that. But, you know, there should be a balanced life. We should have brahmacharis. We should have grihasthas. In fact, grihastha ashram is our stronghold. If people don't get married, all of these beautiful young girls, who is going to marry them? Huh? So, yes, it is important that we have preachers, but let's create a balanced system whereby we are not biased to simply speak on one side and then renegate the other side, because both sides are equally needed. Grihasthas are needed to be able to sustain the movement in terms of expenses, catering for the needs of the brahmacharis and everything else. But we should know that this forest of enjoyment has no limit to its ability to entangle the conditioned soul. Keep in mind, Krishna mentions he is sex life. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentioned he is sex life that is not devoid of religious principles. In other words, if you follow the Shastra, and I would recommend one thing, those who want to get married, they should try to read, or those who are already married, they should try to read the, what's the name of this book? The Vaishnava Samskara book. If you are young people, you hear it. If you want to marry, try to read the Vaishnava Samskara book. So that gives you an insight about what you need to do. Marriage is not a bad thing. In fact, it's The wife is like a fort. When you're tired of swimming, you need to rest on the fort. But some people should be ready to make all of the sacrifice required, the inconveniences required, in going around the world to be able to preach. If you can also do that with your wife, why not? The Pandavas, they were not brahmacharis, they were not sannyasis. Krishna was their messenger. I know some of you are like, some of you are Pandavas. Why not? Bhaktivinoda wasn't married. You know, he had about a dozen children. But look at his life. How many hours Bhaktivinoda Thakur was sleeping? So, the point here is, Krishna consciousness remains our foothold. And if we simply practice Krishna consciousness under the guidance of an acharya, the question of sex life will not be an impediment. And therefore it is so important for us to remind ourselves that Krishna creates the balance, and he gives us Prabhupada with his institution, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, that we can come together like this and remind each other about the dangers of relaxing in the material world. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question or challenges? We have only 3 minutes. Yes. Can you use some, if there's a microphone to use there?
Thank you very much for a very nice class, Maharaj. I wanted to ask a question connected to the need to take vanaprastha and leave the grihastha.
Oh, the need, okay.
The need. You expressed that it should be there, but we often hear the logic, obviously, is that we take, someone will take vanaprastha ashram, or change, leave the grihastha ashram because they're exhausted all the material desires and they perform the yagya of the grihastha ashram, and now they should focus solely and wholeheartedly on serving the Supreme Lord. But if someone can do that in the grihastha ashram when they're old, like with their wife, then is there a need to leave the grihastha ashram? Because the logic has been fulfilled here also, yeah. With them, yeah. And their wife, they're both Krishna conscious.
That's why I mentioned that there are many, even we have acharyas who are not, who really give up the grihastha ashram. Even in our present ISKCON, some grihasthas are gurus. So it depends on the level of your realized knowledge and your detachment. And so that's why I mentioned that we have to create a balance. We should not just come and condemn one thing in favor of something else, because I can always go to the scriptures and pick out something and use it to defend myself. And I said, no, this is there. So the Pandavas, they were not sannyasis. I know. Malati mentioned yesterday about Advaita Acharya. So we can keep on mentioning, but we should not minimize the power of the sex impulse. It has raped people's idiosyncrasy. Sex can blind anyone completely. So if the point is this, people take up vanaprastha because they want to become preachers, they want to help other people. But if you are just comfortable with where you are a devotee, your wife is a devotee, so you are fulfilling the need. But we should also think about meeting intergenerational needs, not just about my salvation. That is why people take vanaprastha. They take the inconvenience to go out to preach. to be able to make other people devotees. That's why even people become, accept disciples. They don't only want to save themselves, they want to save other people. So yeah, I mean, it's like, you have $10 million, and then you have $10 billion. It's all money. The one is, you know, one allows you to do so many other things. So it's actually, it's an austerity of trying to help other people. But if you're just at home, and people come, you can preach to them, or whatever. But, you know, it's not the same thing. So yes, those who want to take Vanaprastha, and our movement is happening, you know, in San Diego, what's his name, the president, former president there, Badri Narayan, Prabhupada disciple, he just took seance recently. He was a Grihastha. Okay? So there are people who are already doing that.
Alright?
People who see the need, they do it. Some people who don't see the need, you can't force anybody. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I was thinking about this verse and what you were saying. They did some scientific research, like with people's brain waves, and when they introduce lust, the reasoning powers go down. So it's even a scientific fact. So we find people read this verse, but when they get lusty, they think, oh, that means someone else. It doesn't mean me. I'll approach the debauched woman. She'll treat me so nice and no one will ever take her away. But we find the evidence is not that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. In one conversation, Prabhupada says, when he's asked about discussing sex with the children, Prabhupada says, no, this is not the duty of the parents. They should not discuss with the children. Then the question was asked, then who should they learn it from? Prabhupada says they should learn it from their friends. So I need a clarification on that statement, Shri Srila Prabhupada. And the second is, I have heard that in 1977, Prabhupada wrote a letter that no more sannyas in our society.
Do you have it there? Do you have that reference there?
I'm sorry.
The reference you're talking about, that Prabhupada said the parents should not discuss about sex with their kids.
I can search that, but
please just say because I need an evidence.
Yes. Okay. No, I heard it directly from the conversation. But
I want a reference. Anyway. I'm a learner. Learning is a lifelong process. I am a learner. Someone says something, I need a reference. Yes.
Yeah. That's minor point. Main point is it true that Prabhupada in 1977 wrote a letter saying no more sannyas in our society?
I need a reference. I'm a learner. I'm coming from academic background and we don't accept things based on hearsay. I remember one proper disciple was with us in those early days and then he would come to me and say, they say Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada written so many books. Show me where Prabhupada said. So, if someone says something, I would want to repeat it to someone else. And as someone who is trying to be a devotee, someone will ask me. See, I tell you one thing. The places I preach, if even you tell a story, someone may not ask you about the source in the class. After the class, someone comes to ask you, yes, Maharaj, where can we find this story? And you have to give the Purana. So, I love evidence. Yes. Last question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Recently I went to Mumbai and I was having a small discussion with a friend of mine and he was discussing about the material desires even being a devotee. And then he said that there's one devotee, I mean in his own Sangha, there was a discussion happening and he asked the same question from me and like I didn't know the answer. He asked me that there's one devotee, he chants 64 rounds every day. Goes for Mangala Aarti and attend all morning program, everything. somewhere in Mira Road temple or something.
What is the problem
he
with this
is
devotee?
Beating his wife sometime.
He's eating his wife.
He's beating his wife sometime.
He's beating his wife.
Yes.
That's a minor thing. I thought he's eating his wife.
Beating his wife. Well, we are vegetarian, Maharaj. How can we beat our wives?
Because people eat their wives.
Is it? Yeah.
Beating his wife, that's a minor thing.
So he said, shall we condemn that person because of his good activity? Like, you know, what we should do? We should just condemn him?
We should. Someone should get close to him and make him a friend and help him. You see, the idea of simply chastising someone because you feel you're superior to the person doesn't work. Those who chastise are the gurus. Your guru can chastise you. You're my friend, I cannot chastise you. I can talk to you, and before even I speak, I will beg for forgiveness just in case I offend you. So, the way to help such a person, he is trying the sadhana. A Chinese 64 rounds does not necessarily mean that he is free from anattas. What type of rounds is another problem. Recently, you know, one of my friends, I don't want to mention the city, but in India here, she came to see me with her family the other day. And so, you know, I think someone poked her and she got angry, okay? And when she got angry, she was so pained because she chants so many rounds every day. So I told her, no, but take it easy. Once in a while, these things come up and you derail, but pick up yourself and move on. So someone chanting 64 rounds, that's not just a big thing. Beating people chant 64 rounds, they fall down even into sex. So what is the big deal about beating his wife? Of course, if he's in some countries, he will not beat his wife because he will go to jail. But, you know, in some countries, anything goes. So it's not just a thing that we cannot help the person. We can help the person, but, you know, sometimes people also, they feel they have the ego. I'm chanting 64 rounds. It's not about 64 rounds, it's about the quality of the rounds. It's also about how we are being subservient to others. The ego comes when we're not really seeing ourselves as dasa, dasa, anodas. It's a problem. Even our own children, we have to be careful. You see, we may commit aparads, and we think that committing aparad means, you know, hurting a sannyasi or hurting your guru. You beat your wife, if she is a devotee, you have committed Vaishnavi aparad. Of course, these things we have to know that there are reactions, there are repercussions, there are requital that are associated with this thing. So he needs to be helped, and he should not be condemned. Condemnation and help, they are different things. You should be preached to understand that those things are criminal. They are criminal behavior. It's due to, once you beat your wife, why? Because of low self-control. Incidentally, in criminology, even the very general theory of crime, the general theory of crime in criminology brings to bear that people are involved in crime and antisocial behavior because of low self-control. You speak very nicely, you go home and you punch your wife in the face. You're very submissive to your guru, very service-oriented to the senior devotees. But you go home and you harass your children, you harass your wife. We have a long way to go. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yes, you got in some stuff. Just go back to conversation. Can we accept?